The first reading today, St. Paul talks about the fact that he rejoices in his suffering for the sake of the people, because he said he's making up in his flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. There's a lot that's packed into that little statement, so we need to look at that very carefully because it is so important. We live in a society where we absolutely want nothing to do with suffering. Oh my goodness, we get a tiny little headache and we run for the medicine cabinet. We get a hangnail and we think we're dying. We whine and complain about anything and everything. So we need to circle back and we need to look at this, because St. Paul tells us the value and the importance of the suffering. So you have to ask yourself, first of all, if suffering is important for God, who do you think wants to make sure that we won't suffer at all? It's not God. So there's only one other option. So now let's look at this and see what St. Paul says and why this is so important. So first of all, he's telling us that he's suffering for the sake of the people. Suffering is not just for its own sake. God doesn't allow us to suffer because he thinks it's funny, or because watch what happens to this person if they suffer. No. Suffering purifies us. St. Paul makes that very clear even when he talks about the fact that his task is to bring the people to God perfect in Christ, he said, admonishing everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. So it does have great value for us. It purifies us. It perfects us. But it's not only for our sake. It's so that we can love more. So it's for the sake of others, because love is not about ourselves. Love is about God and neighbor. That's what it's about. And so St. Paul says that he's filling up in his flesh what is lacking in the sufferings or the afflictions of Christ. Somehow what Jesus went through on the cross was not enough? No, that's not what he's saying at all. But rather it is the whole Christ who suffers. You and I are members of the mystical body of Christ. We are not going to be part of Christ if we don't suffer. Remember, Jesus is the Christ because of his passion. By his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, that is where the work of the Christ happened. So yes, we can look back and say he's the Christ throughout his entire life. But anyone could try and suggest that. Remember, we look in the Acts of the Apostles, and there were a number of people who thought that they were the Messiah, and they clearly weren't. And so where do you prove it? It was proven only in his passion. So if you are going to be a member of Christ, that's only going to happen through participation in his passion. After all, we think about it and we say, well, we want the resurrection. We want the glorification. We want to be able to go to heaven. All that's wonderful. There's only one way to get there, and that's through Calvary. You have to share in the passion before you can share in the resurrection. If we want the glory, we need to have the cross first. So St. Paul, then, what he's doing here is telling us the importance and the value of our suffering. It is not something that is like the suffering of an animal. If an animal is suffering, there's no value in that. It's just a tragedy. The animal is suffering. If you and I are suffering, yeah, we could do it like an animal. Or we can do it as a Christian, which means that we can unite our suffering with that of Christ because we are a member of Jesus Christ. So Jesus did on the cross everything that the mystical body would not do through the rest of history, which means he did 99.9% of it. And our little tiny, 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 tiny little bit of suffering that we have to do, oh my goodness, you would think the world was coming to an end. And look at what he did to save our souls. So now he's giving us an opportunity to participate in the work of redemption, in the work of the salvation of souls. There is nothing greater in human history. There is no privilege that is greater. And when you think about your children, grandchildren, and so on, what is it that you want for them? To be able to go to heaven. How are they going to get there? Only through the suffering of Christ. How are sinners going to be converted? Only through the suffering of Christ. But that doesn't mean only through the suffering 2,000 years ago of our blessed Lord. That means through the suffering of the mystical Christ as well. Our sufferings united with his for the conversion of sinners and the salvation of souls. You see, you literally have a participation in the work of salvation. That is the importance of the suffering. We are not saved apart from the suffering of Christ. And the suffering of Christ also has to continue, remember, because the work of salvation is continuing. The sacrifice of Jesus continues. That's why we're here. Our Lord is going to be sacrificed, not again, still. It's not a separate sacrifice. We're not sacrificing him again. It is the same sacrifice. The difference, however, is that in the Holy Eucharist, there is no suffering. Zero. Jesus does not suffer in the Blessed Sacrament. But you cannot separate suffering and sacrifice. So if there's no suffering in the mystical sacrifice of the Mass, then where does the suffering come from? The mystical person of Christ, you and me. And so in a couple of moments, when I turn to you and say, pray that my sacrifice, which is the bread and wine, and yours, your suffering, your sacrifices may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. Bring your sufferings with you and put them up there on the paten with the bread and put them into the chalice with the wine, so that at the moment of the consecration, natural elements of bread and wine are transformed into the very person of Jesus Christ. That which is natural suddenly becomes divine. And guess what happens to your suffering? That which is natural becomes divine. Because you bring your sufferings and you put them there, and they literally become the suffering of our Lord Jesus. It is filling up what is lacking in the suffering of Christ. That's the privilege that you and I have. And tragically, most of us don't see it as a privilege at all. As they keep pointing out, it's the Minnesota problem. We whine and complain about everything. If we would learn instead to do what St. Paul says, and that's to rejoice, because it's a privilege. Whining and complaining takes the value of the suffering away. Keep silent. Rejoice, give it to the Lord, and allow him to bring about great fruit. Because if we can do that, it's going to bring about the conversion of sinners. It's going to bring about the salvation of souls. There is no greater privilege in the world. And if we can understand that, then we can see the suffering as a gift. We can see it even as a privilege. That sounds weird to us. That sounds crazy to us. It is the Holy Spirit who inspired it. It is the Lord Jesus himself who shows us by his example and teaches us and makes us members of his mystical body so that we can participate in his suffering, so that we can make up in our body what is lacking in the suffering of Christ.